and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, people who are just starting their day. Wake up. How are you? People have been up all night. Good to see you. I mean, good to hear from you. Good to talk to you. How is that? That's what I'm saying, Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to the bakers, the truckers, the candlestick makers.
The bakers. Yeah, the bakers. We got
the people staggering out of bars.
I remember that woman came up to me when I did that show in Portland. She says, I'm a baker. And I'm like, oh, I wish I was doing what you were doing. Mm. I'd love to bake. Wouldn't that be fun to bake? Just to bake, to smell the bread all day, smell the pastries, to pull things out of the oven and say, oh, look what I did.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, you know what? Bakeries, because I go by one every morning on my way in here, they are beehives of activity at this time. It's loaded with people, and they're all loading stuff onto trucks, and you know where they're going. And see, the thing is, at the same time the bakery is loading stuff, there are also delivery trucks that are dropping breads off to other places, like the delis and stuff.
Sure, man. It's just like business moving forward.
It's a whole different life.
In the middle of the night, bread on the move.
Yeah, and you don't know how many supermarket tractor trailers I got to contend with on the GW Bridge.
Full of bread. I deal with those guys who got the coffee trucks, the coffee carts. When I'm coming over the bridge from Queens.
You ever see one of them jackknifes? It's hilarious.
They fall over and they spill.
Yeah, they fall over and they spill everything, and they're in the middle of the highway.
Donuts and coffee all over the place.
Yeah, and you hear curses in foreign languages.
They're all from, they're all in Queens. Man, I don't know what I'm going to do today. It's sort of a slow day. I'm going to tonight I'm thinking about going to movies. I'm going to see a crappy movie, too, because I'm just that bored.
Really?
And I'm thinking about maybe Meet the Fockers.
You know what, though, Mary? Me and you got to hang out one day after work. So, you know, because my life is turning into your life.
Ha ha. How does it feel, buddy? Lonely, isn't it?
It's just a little weird. See, because I live with two people. You're by yourself.
Yeah, I know. But I live in
the weird twilight zone where, you know, I'm going to sleep before my wife and daughter even get home from something.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, it's like the middle of the day is like when you got to really do everything.
I know, it's a trip.
So me and you got to go raise a little hell. So we got to go get drunk at 9:25 a.m. I don't know, something.
I don't do that, but we'll do something.
We'll do something.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to go party at 2:30, man.
Yeah.
The world is ours at 2:30
in the afternoon. That's right.
I know. I went to the fish guy yesterday, and they were asking me about it. You know, because I didn't even bring that up. I met Robin. I did talk about it.
What? Oh, yeah.
Robin Quivers.
Robin Quivers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You did.
Yeah, she said it never goes away. I was talking to the fish guy. He was saying he doesn't, you know, it's funny that people have been listening to Stern for years. Like, this guy has, and he's sort of like, you know, but some days he doesn't talk about nothing. You know, it's just boring, and he doesn't know what to talk about. And then he started talking about Opie and Anthony. I'm like, well, what about our show, Morning Sedition? I'll tell you, though, maybe I'll go see Kinsley. I heard that's a great movie.
Oh, Kinsey?
Kinsey.
The Liam Neeson.
I don't know. I can forget anyone's name. Yeah, but I heard it's a great movie. I just want to say that, I'll tell you, we can talk about whatever we talk about here, politically, issue-oriented,
whatever.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something. I mentioned my cold sore medicine yesterday. For like 2 seconds, I get like oodles of email about how to help my cold sore. And I just want, you know, I mean, we can sit here and talk politics all day and get 2 or 3 emails. But I mentioned the cold sore. We do the dream segment. Hundreds of dreams coming into the station.
Yeah.
What about this one? What about this one? I talk about my cold sore for 2 seconds. I got some interesting feedback. Like, because some people were talking about holistic remedies. Now, I knew about lysine. Lysine is an amino acid or something like that, that you take daily as a preventative. And that's supposed to work, you know.
All right.
But someone wrote in and said acidophilus.
Acidophilus?
Yeah, to take acidophilus pills, which is, I think, a...
Are they legal?
Isn't it bacteria found in milk or a fungus or something that's natural?
No, that's LSD. That's a different kind of acid.
Psilocybin milk. No, I think acidophilus is part of your intestinal flora, I believe. But I would never have known.
You got flowers growing in your small intestine?
Of course you do. Of course. It's like a coral reef down there. If you could only snorkel into your colon, the things you would find, Riley...
I saw that movie with Raquel Welch. It was disgusting.
Starfish. Oh, anemones. I appreciate the tips, and I might take them up on it because I don't want to spend $115 or $18 on name brand medication because a doctor pimped for the pharmaceutical company got me to believe that the name brand would be better than the generic, which I usually get, and then I spent that kind of money.
Did you ask him why? Did you ask him why the name brand was better? Is it faster acting? Does it last longer? Does it make you feel better?
No,
does the cold sore pop off your lip?
Well, what? I said that, you know, well, what happened was is that my doctor was on vacation, so he had a guy on call. I called the guy on call. I said, look, it's happening. We need to do something now.
Yeah.
All right, because you got to get that. Right when you feel the tingle, you got to get on
it. Yeah, yeah.
So he goes, yeah, what do you usually take? I say acyclovir, which is a generic form of Zovirex or Famvir or whatever.
Oh, that's fine. But you need...
He says Famvir is really the best one, 500 milligrams. He says, oh, is it better than acyclovir? And he's like, yeah, 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 this is the newest one. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, yeah, you should get it. And I didn't know why I didn't pay attention to the money it cost last time because I think that I had... I think this has something to do with me, a new deductible that has to be paid. But nonetheless, I didn't pay attention. And this time I'm like, what? This is more expensive than, you know, ecstasy or Viagra. You know
yeah.
what I mean? And it's, you know, it's a vanity thing. You don't want these things festering. So I bought it, but I was sort of upset.
Well, remember, make your living with your mouth. You know, a cold sore for you is not like a cold sore for a construction worker.
Yeah, it's funny. When I recorded my first CD, Not Sold Out, the entire first 5 minutes is about a cold sore. Because I had one that night.
Really?
Yeah, and I had to address it. Now I'm going to go to Boston. Now, this is a federal law enforcement official said Wednesday that they were searching for four Chinese citizens who may have been involved in plotting a possible terrorist action in Boston. This weekend?
This weekend. They're coming to Jimmy Tingles.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I just wonder what it's going to help.
And they got their names, too.
That's interesting. They got everything on these guys, right?
Except
they got,
them.
They got everything on these guys, and they got pictures, they got names, they got copies of the ticket.
Yep.
Yeah. So I guess these guys came up. The state said that one. I don't know if I'm going to even try to pronounce their names, but they came up through Mexico. Is
yeah.
that what happened?
Yeah, they supposedly came through Mexico. None of them were on any terrorist watch list.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they knew they were terrorists or shilling for terrorists or plotting a terrorist attack.
Here's my narcissism, if I have it, which I have a little of. I'm not clinical, but now I have taste.
Mm-hmm.
I have just a little taste in narcissism. Is that, of course, this has to happen when I'm going to Boston this weekend. So if I have a bad turnout, it's because of the terrorists. You know, and they didn't even put an alert up. They didn't even have an alert. Did you notice that, Riley? There's
yeah.
not been one alert since the election. Has not been one alert.
Still waters run deep. I don't know.
But I mean, how can people not wake up to that and know that we were used? That
well,
we
look,
been
no, Tom,
with?
Tom Ridge put the gone fishing sign on his desk the minute he decided he was getting out. The new guy hasn't been thoroughly vetted and confirmed yet.
Hmm.
So there's really nobody minding the store. But, you know, they took this thing seriously enough so Mitt Romney left D.C. and went back up to Massachusetts. Mitt Romney, of course, is the governor of the state.
Great.
And the governor of New Hampshire went back up, went home, too.
On my weekend.
Your
at
weekend.
Jimmy Tingle's Off-Broadway Theater in Somerville this weekend. Come on, fight the terrorist threat and come see Marc Maron the 21st and 22nd at Jimmy Tingle's.
But you know what? We had Jimmy Tingle's on. We did that remote broadcast.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy Tingle would tear a terrorist a new butt.
Yeah.
You know? Jimmy doesn't look like he plays much.
So what are you saying? I should invite them to the show? Listen, I don't speak Chinese.
But come on anyway. What the hell?
Let me get a shot at talking you out of it. This is Ignoreguration Day, and we will be talking about all things other than. And,
whatever.
I haven't talked about my cats in a while. You know, that's the issues. Yeah, I love those mail, some of the mail we get. It's like, why are you talking about
masturbating
your
cold sores?
Because this is life, man. It's not all up here. You know, sometimes it's down here. All right, we'll be back. 14 past the hour. Air America Radio.
It's a free Thursday on Morning Sedition. Ignoreguration Day. Only on Air America Radio.
It's 19 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. This is Ignoreguration Day on Morning Sedition.
And ignore we shall.
That means that, as far as we know, there is nothing of interest whatsoever happening today.
South of Philadelphia.
Having anything to do with office of the president.
I can say
president.
Okay, you can say
president. In fact, as far as we know, there might not be a president. But I do know that the high today is expected to be 36 degrees in D.C. at noon when the president... It's expected to be 33 degrees Fahrenheit, but it will feel like 24 degrees because it's going to be chilly with the wind chill. A lot of traffic. Anyways, that's all that's going on in D.C. So, look, buddy. Here's a couple of things. I will be performing Jimmy Tingle's Off-Broadway Theater in Davis Square, Somerville, Massachusetts, this Friday and Saturday. Hopefully I'll be able to get in. There is a high alert level up there because there are some Chinese terrorists that are traveling in that direction. They know their name. They got pictures. They have an idea, but they don't know when they're arriving, apparently.
No.
If you're playing along with the buy, don't spend a damn dime today, don't spend a damn dime. I've not spent a damn dime yet, but then again, it's only, you know, 6:20 in the morning here.
I can't help myself. I got to pay the tolls. If I run the tolls, I'm going to get busted.
Well, come on, man. I thought you were a rebel.
Yeah,
come on,
right.
Man. I thought you were a radical.
Yeah.
Run those tolls.
That was back in the day we used to run tolls.
Dude, I have not been able to fast on Yom Kippur for, like, you know, 20 years. So I'm going to try to pull off this don't spend a damn dime today to take a hit at the nation's economy at a time in an act of protest. You know, against this.
Against what?
Never mind.
Never mind.
So here we go. Let's talk about the Condoleezza Rice confirmation vote. The Democrats are trying to stall it a bit, just to flex the small muscle that they have. Barbara Boxer, as in the last couple of days, has shown tremendous amount of brains and feminads to stand up to, you know, her sort of like posturing and her lying and her smugness. She's awful. I'd like to hear this bit, though. Biden.
Senator Joe Biden from Delaware. And this was, I was listening to this going over the GW Bridge yesterday on my way home, and I almost drove off the road when I heard this particular exchange.
Let's hear it.
Every single person I have spoken to on the ground in Iraq in my four trips, three since Saddam is down, every tough Marine, every single military guy I've spoken to says that. Been saying it for 2 years. Y'all don't do anything except parrot. We've trained 120,000 forces. So I go home, and people ask me the same thing they asked the senator from Illinois. Why are we still there? 120,000 trained Iraqis. Why are we still there? So do me a favor. As my mother would say, God love you. Please do me a favor. Start to tell the whole deal. And let's agree, not agree. Let me cite a new definition of trained. If you're able to take the place of a U.S. force. Let's call it that. And I'd like you to think about, and in private tell us later, after your secretary, which I'm about to vote for in about 5 minutes. Tell us, how many of those folks you think, and for God's sake, don't listen to Rumsfeld. He doesn't know what in the hell he's talking about on this. Thank you very much. You want to comment? I welcome it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, man.
Wow. Joe Biden boxing, man. The pugilist.
God love you.
Bam, poom, 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 poom.
God love you. Tell the truth.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah, he's good. He had a great dramatic pause there, too.
Yeah, man.
And did Condoleezza Rice have anything to say to that, Chris? Can we hear that?
We talked yesterday about the fact that the 120 is those trained. I said there are problems with leadership, there are problems with desertion, there are problems with some absenteeism as well. And I also said in response to Senator Obama that the real test is do they fight when they're put in the field. In some places they've fought well, in other places they've not fought well.
What's your overall assessment?
I think that we have had problems with the training. I'd be the first to say that. That's why General Petraeus says what he says. And we're working to address those problems, and that's one reason that General Luck is out there, is to get an assessment of what we need to do. Part of it is that circumstances do keep changing. We thought we were training beat cops. We were training cops who were going to have to face insurgents.
In truth, they haven't changed in 19 months.
Well, that piece of it has changed because the cops were taking a real beating. But in any case, we are absolutely clear that the key for the administration, the key for America, is to get Iraqi forces trained. We understand that. We are working on
that. Translates then that we have to keep American forces in large numbers there for at least 6 months to a year, right?
Well, Senator, let's have this discussion later.
Yeah, yeah. He had her on the ropes, man.
What a dancer.
That was great.
She is, I mean, that was like jitterbugging, that
so,
was.
Obviously, she's going to get voted in still, but some Democrats, they managed to stall the confirmation, at least for a few days, because as spokesman for Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid of Nevada said, there are a number of Democrats not on the committee that want to have a chance to debate her nomination a couple of hours.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's interesting. So what does that mean to you, Riley?
Well, what it means is, first of all, if you listen to what that exchange between Condoleezza Rice and Joe Biden just now, you realize, and we should put this in context, because Joe Biden, at the same time Condoleezza Rice is saying that there are 120,000 trained Iraqis doing security in the country, Joe Biden says the number is only 4,000. People.
That are now, actually capable of doing the work of a soldier.
That are actually fully trained and operational. Now, that can't be explained by desertions or not fighting well. You know, if 116,000 people desert, you didn't have an army to begin with.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know. And she was very. Where are they getting those numbers?
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
But see, what Rice did was very slick. What Rice said is, well, General Luck is over there. He's conducting the assessment now. And what she's implying is, until he comes back with something different, we're sticking by our 120,000.
He's out there. General Luck's assessing who they can blame for this.
Yeah. As long as the last name isn't Rice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
But bottom line here. The Democrats are throwing a little bit of mess in the game. But see, the person that's going to take the weight for this is the folks that are involved in allowing it to happen. And they're Republicans, mm-hmm. quiet as is kept. Now, you know, the Foreign Relations Committee voted 16-2, only Kerry and Boxer. I feel bad. My man Barack didn't stand up here,
though
he questioned him.
There's no standing up. As you said, the standing up is going to be done during the Social Security proposal.
Yeah. I mean, look, even Joe Biden said he was going to vote for her.
Yeah.
Even with all of this, you know, God love you, and you know, that with that kind of disparity, even Biden is throwing down with her.
Because you said yesterday, and it seems to be the consensus, this is a fight they can't win.
No, they can't. They can't win.
So they put this off. They've delayed it for a couple of days.
That's nice.
Yeah, and
and Gonzalez, too.
And hopefully it's just a tease of more stalling of the Republican death machine. Now, look, we're going to be talking to a lot of Democrats who took office in red states.
Yeah.
Next, coming up, we've got North Carolina State Representative Bill Faison, and we're going to talk to him about how he won his election down there, though he ran unopposed. But there's still there's still some questions to ask on his day of inauguration.
That's right. We got the liberal agenda as well. And Ray, well, we'll get to that later.
We'll see if he's here.
This is Air America Radio.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley, Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Before past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yep.
It's Ignore Duration Day on Morning Sedition. That means that as far as we know, there's nothing of interest whatsoever happening today having anything to do with the office of the president. I can say that.
Okay.
As far as we know, there might not be a president. Certainly not President Bush. See? Or the inaugural. See? That's how it's going to go today. So it looks like, Kalo the Costco ho did not bring his, you know, cup of noodles or pretzels or beef jerky today. What's the matter, buddy? Feeling ashamed?
I ran out.
You ran out. There you go.
You ran out, huh? Well, here we go. You know, Ray came in with the, he had a judge's robe on.
Uh-oh.
And here's William Rehnquist, Palm Pilot for today, January 20th. 7 a.m. wake up. Note, special day. Only one day left in the work week. It's 9 a.m. Don't forget, next week is Thomas's birthday. Get him a DVD. You know the kind. 10 a.m. Today's the day. Pay the gas bill. Wouldn't want to shut off in January. You know? 10:15 a.m. You've only got one shot to do this right. So don't blink during driver's license photos. 10:30 a.m. Everyone is depending on me today. Don't forget to pick up grandkids at soccer practice. 11:30 a.m. Remember, speak up with a loud, clear voice and say, I'll have a chicken gordita and a Mountain Dew. 12 p.m. Remember, very important, move car from alternate side of the street parking. 9 p.m. Remember to check in with the president tomorrow. Today just got away from me.
Mm.
On the phone. Our first guest... He is, you know, North Carolina went red after the election, but voters have the proclivity to put the Democrats in the state house. And the thing about North Carolina is that this guy, our guest, Bill Faison, is also he's a trial lawyer, and he ran unopposed. Good morning, Bill Faison. How are you?
Very well. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Pretty good. So tell me, why didn't you're a trial lawyer, you're in North Carolina, why didn't they run anyone against you?
It's a heavily Democratic district.
Uh-huh.
There actually was a fairly hotly contested primary. There were four of us running in the primary.
Uh-huh.
I won the primary with about 62% of the vote in a four-person race.
Uh-huh.
And there was no Republican opposition. In fact, for that matter, there was no Libertarian opposition. And in most North Carolina districts, whether there's a Republican running or not, there is a Libertarian running.
That's interesting. So why do they keep sending Republicans to Washington from there?
A lot of us would like to know the answer to that question. We had John Edwards in the Senate, who is very much a Democrat, although if you look at some of his positions, he sounds a lot more like a Republican than a Democrat. He's in favor of the death penalty. He's in favor of the war effort and voted in favor of the funding for the war effort. But he was our state senator. Now, he replaced a Republican who had at one time been a Democrat, but replaced a Republican who had defeated a Democrat. And then when Edwards stepped down to run for the president, or I guess elected not to run for the Senate seat, so he could run for president, a fellow by the name of Richard Burr, a congressman who's a fairly conservative Republican, ran and won strong. And not only won strong, but won strongly in the district where I won the House seat.
I don't understand. What did he say? I mean, because you're a state representative. Now, what did this guy come in and say the ideological differences seem extreme to me. I just don't understand how this can happen. What was it that he said that made that happen?
I don't believe the elections in North Carolina are so much ideological, at least not at a local level, as they are the people who are running. Almost no one talked ideological issues with me during this campaign. Now, the themes of the campaign were jobs, education, and health care.
Jobs, education, and health care. Did we lose him? It sounds like we lost him. Hopefully he'll call us back.
Yeah,
maybe he was on his cell phone. I don't know what happened there. We are talking to State Representative Bill Faison. Maybe he'll call us back. That sort of baffles me, Mark, that in a state where you obviously have people that believe in democratic principles. You know, he just said education, health care, you know, all the stuff that they run on, yet they elect a Republican into the Senate. I don't understand how that works.
Well, you have situations, and we're going to be dealing with this all morning, where you have people who go, and they went whole hog for Bush. For what's his name?
Mm-hmm.
In the November 2nd balloting.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears as though there are people who have no problem splitting their loyalties that way, going for a Republican for Washington, but when it comes to local, when it comes to people who are going to the state capitol to represent them, they have no problem voting for Democrats. Now, part of that may be because there is a difference between the Democratic agenda of local elected officials and the Democratic agenda of the national party. That would be my general sense, that people in a district like this, like Representative Faison is coming from, are people who really don't think that Washington, the Washington Democrats, understand what their needs and what their values and what their concerns are.
Okay, I think we got him back on the phone. Hello, Representative Faison, how are you?
Very well. Very
oh,
well.
Good, we got you back.
Yeah, sorry about the disconnect.
That's okay.
It's been snowing around here. It actually snowed about a half an inch yesterday, which is a major calamity in the southern area.
We got a little of it up here.
I
was kind of happy to see it myself. So you know why we're talking to you? Because today is Inauguration Day. We are not paying any heed or attention to whatever's going on down there in Washington. Now, what I want to know from you, and Riley and I, my other host here, we're just talking about, is that, you know, what is wrong with the National Democratic Party that we can't all get on the same page here?
I really think it comes down to a matter of perception. I think it's a question of where the values are. And before we lost the line, I was about to tell you that although there are some distinctions in the issues that were being run in the state. For example, I know one Republican House candidate who ran on a theme of send the illegal aliens back to South America, get them out. And another theme he ran on was no taxes, and I'm sure the last theme he ran on is to make sure that no woman had a right to choose what happened with her body. And he won. But he won in the same state that I won in. And those were absolutely not the issues I would have been running on had those been the issues in the campaign. Moreover, a number of the Republicans on the far right who were running in our state ran on either the identical or similar issues, and probably no taxation was on top was another one of their issues.
So fear-mongering on some level.
That's exactly right. I really do. I mean, it's sad to think of where that could lead to, because in our community in North Carolina, we've had a tremendous influx of folks from South America. But they wouldn't be coming if there wasn't a need. There, if you look in our area, you find people from South America who have primarily Spanish as their language, working in construction. They are working in fast food. They are working in janitorial services. They are throughout our society. In most of our courthouses now, everything is written in both English and in Spanish. In most places you go to get fundamental services, if you have Spanish, you could probably get by. Our telephones run giving you options on English and Spanish. Our directory services run on English and Spanish. And for someone to run on a theme of throwing the immigrants out in America, I mean, it's America for crying out loud. It could lead to some very bad things, and I'm really troubled by that.
Bill Faison, do you believe that the National Democratic Party is going to have to soft pedal or even at some level give up advocacy on issues like gay rights, like abortion, like immigration, in order to be in order to change the perception of people in districts like yours?
Well, in a district like mine, folks are very much in favor of immigration. It is largely a farming district. There are special rules, regulations that allow folks to come into this country to assist in farming operations. And I've had a number of farmers tell me that without the immigrant workers, there's no way they could continue to farm. They need that labor supply, and they need it at the cost that they're getting it for. So I don't think that's an issue. There have certainly been some Republican races run in North Carolina where the winning theme was a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriages. It's really not needed in North Carolina. There's already a law in the books that essentially makes marriage an event occurring between people who are of opposite gender. But moreover, if you really dig under the gay rights issue, I don't think it's a matter of rights at all. If you go back to issues of rights, right to own property, right to inherit, right to work, right to housing, housing and work are already covered under federal regulations that exist. The ability to inherit property is something that you have control over. You can make your own will. If you get married, there are relatively few things that occur when you get married, at least in this state, and I would think in most states. What happens is when you get the state makes a will for you, whether you make one for yourself or not. When
right.
you get married, the terms of that will change. You can do that all voluntarily.
So it's not hinging on marriage.
Absolutely not.
Well,
when you get married, it determines how you own property, but you can do that on your own. You don't need the state to get involved in that process.
Right.
When you get married, what you do is involve the state in the dissolution of your relationship, which was classically needed because women were tremendously disadvantaged and because of the need to support children.
Right, right.
I don't think in today's world you could suggest that a woman's disadvantaged, and issues of child support are pretty well litigated and locked in.
Right.
So I think it's a fight without a legal point to it. I think it has a public perception point to it, but I don't think it has a fundamental legal right point to it.
Right, and that issue, again, falls under the category of fear-mongering by exploiting it. Bill Faison, I appreciate you talking to us, and congratulations on your victory down there.
Congratulations. Thanks.
Bye.
Take care. Take it easy. Yeah, so that was Bill Faison. He's a state representative from North Carolina who beat out No one ran against him because his region is so heavily Democratic, yet there seems to be a definite schism between local-level Democrats in some of these red states and obviously, you know, senators.
But, you know, he sounds a lot like a populist that he won with 62% of the vote in a four-person Democratic primary. That's not easy.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to him about how immigrants are treated, you know, in his farmland community there. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk to him again sometime.
Yeah,
but I think he's absolutely right about you know, this is America. It was built by immigrants. You know, not everybody can be Lou Dobbs. Oh, my God. The immigrants are crawling all over me. I got immigrants in my hair. Lou Dobbs tonight. Oh, the immigrants are coming. It's 46 past the hour, Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition's exclusive coverage of Ignore Duration Day on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
You.
It is Ignore Duration Day here on Morning Sedition. The reason we're doing this is because we don't think there's anything of interest going on down there in Washington right now. That is today. What we are doing is we are reaching out to Democrats who won local elections in red states to find out what they did right, to find out, you know, what positive, you know, elements that they have in their races that could somehow, you know, bleed into the National Democratic Party. That would be helpful. You know, these are people that are actually taking the action on a local political level. They are doing what they need to do to facilitate change in the type of government that we have. They are not not eating, you know, meat. They are not just, you know, not spending money today. They are running for office, and they are trying to facilitate change through the systems that exist in our democracy or what's left of it. So we are talking to them for, you know, maybe perhaps they can give us some guidance and some hope, a little bit of hope. Also, here on the news, let me say that I will be in, this is not the news, but I will be performing at Jimmy Kimmel's Off-Broadway Theater in Davis Square in Somerville, Massachusetts. That's this Friday and Saturday. If you want to bear the weather and the terrorist alert, come down and see me. Apparently there's some Chinese terrorists moving up through Mexico, and they're heading for Boston. Now, this is an interesting article from the Christian Science Monitor. Since 9/11, President Bush has been telling us that Islam is a religion of peace, while evangelist Franklin Graham, that's Billy's son, has insisted otherwise. Who is right? And the truth of the matter is, Americans have no way to tell because they know virtually nothing about Islam or any other religion, even their own. There are studies out that this is the most religiously ignorant country in the world. That means that even with a sort of rabid form of Christian extremism, there is a real good chance that most of those Christians have no idea, you know, who spoke on the Temple of the Mount, have no idea what some of the basic principles and tenets of Christianity is. All they know is that, you know, all their neighbors are like them, and they go see a guy on Sunday that has a strange charisma. That's a cult. That's not necessarily a religion, and that's an unbelievable reality about America, one of the more religious countries in the world, supposedly, is that most people are just narrow-minded cult members that have no idea what Jesus stood for or what his teachings were. Isn't that disturbing that these people that want to dictate our lives, that want to legislate our laws, that want to mix religion with politics have no idea what their religion stands for? They're just armies of brainwashed Christo-fascist zombies working at the behest of the neocon death cult who might ultimately turn their back on them. Isn't that frightening? I hope that he used you, guys. That's what I hope. So, now, intelligent design. Here's a success for the neocon death cult's Christo-fascist zombie brigade. In Harrison, Pennsylvania, high school students heard about intelligent design for the first time Tuesday, and that is without hearing about any other religion. See, the real fear is, and the real reality is now teachers are actually frightened to teach any sort of religion in school. They are frightened to teach religions, you know, comparatively. They don't know how to teach religion without promoting the religion they're teaching, which is what this is. Teaching intelligent design is teaching Christianity. It's also teaching ignorance. It's also denying students a fact-based education in lieu of religion. religious fanaticism. Now, where is comparative education systems? Where is that? Where are those classes where you say, let's learn about Islam, let's learn about Buddhism, let's learn about Judaism, let's learn about Christianity. Let's see how the people of the world use belief to make their culture, you know, stronger, more interesting, more, you know, diverse. Let's explore all these different ideas of belief systems and compare them so we can all sort of have a working knowledge of how other people in the world delude themselves and how we can all get along, you know, well, you know. But no, that doesn't exist because now teachers are frightened to even bring it up unless they're teaching intelligent design.
Well, it does exist. It may not exist in the public schools, but 35 years ago when I was in high school, I took a comparative religion course. I learned about Taoism. I learned about Buddhism. I learned about Islam. I learned about Judaism. And, you know, but then I went to a school that was founded by a very noted abolitionist of the 19th century. So this was part and parcel of the educational structure of the school I attended. There was always supposed to be, and it didn't promote any one religion. They, you know, we'd have chapel services and stuff, just like every other school, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line was, they did have enough respect for religion, for different religions, to say, this is what these, you know, the fundamental tenets of these religions are. And we used to get into some really heavy and sometimes heated discussions about the relative. I wanted to become a Taoist by the time I got out of high school because that seemed to me to be the most tolerant, the most open and free-flowing religion that I had studied. But I did study.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, I am not, you know, I was raised a conservative Jew. You know, I don't have any, you know, active religion in my life. I don't consider myself a believer, though I am somewhat of a mystical thinker. I have some open gaps in my mind. But, you know, the idea that religion is being taught in school, that ignorance is being taught in school, that the idea of intelligent design, you know what, we got to finish this topic later. You know, we're going to have to do this.
We got time.
All right. Well, this is the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound for today. Ignore Duration Day. Write these down. Okay. It's Count Your Blessings Day, though not affiliated with any specific creed or dogma. One, greet the dawn. Feel the spirit of all your ancestors flowing through you like a golden stream into a sparkling ocean of interconnectedness. Weep. Two, have creme brulee at Daniel. Weep. Three, watch lesbian couple playing with their adopted Guatemalan baby. Weep. Four, weep. Five, today's phrase, just drop it in the conversation. Can you hear the whales, man? It's beautiful. It's beautiful, man. Yeah, no, you know, it's like I guess we haven't gotten worked up about religion in a while. Let's continue.
Well, we're gonna continue that. We're going to talk about a lot of different stuff in this next hour. We're going to talk to some more folks later in the broadcast who have won in red states being blue when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Blah, 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 blah.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher, kings and queens, working class heroes. Today is Ignoration Day on Morning Sedition. That means that as far as we know, there is nothing of any interest whatsoever happening today that has anything to do with the office of the president. In fact, as far as we know, there might not be a president. We will be talking to state representatives,
real politicians,
Democrats who won in red states. We talked to in the last hour. We talked to Bill Faison from North Carolina. This hour, we're going to be talking to Texas Congressman Al Green,
not the singer.
No, but he got elected in Texas. That's no small deal considering the state of the country,
and considering Tom DeLay gerrymandered the whole state.
Tom DeLay, the bug killing the bug killing dwarf king, the neocon death cult legislative pig pack. Anyways, moving along, we were talking about religion. We were talking about, I made a couple of mistakes because I got off on a little tirade there. I meant to say Sermon on the Mount. I said Temple on the Mount because that comes, I've been trying to stuff Jerusalem syndrome, my religious diatribe that I'm performing in a couple of weeks into my head and has something about the Temple Mount in it. And also I said Harrisburg, Virginia, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania is where the story came out of, but it's Dover. It's Dover, Pennsylvania. Yes?
Yes.
And in Dover, Pennsylvania, for the first time on Tuesday, intelligent design was taught. Now, intelligent design is some sort of hot-rodded version of creationism that they bullied into the school,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a you know, as a counterpart to evolution. But it's not really a counterpart to evolution, because intelligent design is religious belief. It's a mystical idea. It is not, you know, founded in any facts whatsoever. So by teaching that alongside of evolution, which is founded in scientific research over many years, that proves to be, you know, true in most cases. And by saying that, that it doesn't prove all cases and this should be provided as an alternative, that's almost like saying, sure, you can take 100 or so years of scientific research and look at that, and or you can look at this cartoon. You know, so, you know, I don't know why. It just, it bothers me that they are literally denying people, denying kids a fact-based education by promoting this. They should teach comparative religion classes. They should teach Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, historically, putting them into perspective, what the different people's beliefs are, what regions of the world they come to, not teaching religious belief alongside of science as an alternative.
You know what the scary part about all this is?
Aside from all of it?
No, but Dover County is the first one in the country to do this. So, number one, the nation could well be starting down a slippery slope. But the problem with this is that it backdoor leads to intolerance of other religions. You know, if you start being indoctrinated in a particular religious thought at an early enough age, and you do it both in church and in school, you run the risk. I'm not saying this happens to everybody exposed to this, but you run the risk of really being, of coming out of that experience, believing that your religion is the only right religion.
What? Yeah, and on some level, that's, you know, that's the type of tolerance that is necessary to transcend that, because I think that is implicit in a lot of religions. I think that, you know, in order to believe in something thoroughly, unfortunately, you have to believe that that's it.
Yeah.
You know, because, or else you're not really believing in it. So what that means is that within the context of any religion, there has to be an element of tolerance, and that is in most religions. It's certainly in Christianity. Even if you have, you consider yourself a true Christian and have a certain amount of empathy or concern for somebody that doesn't believe like you do, or that secretly you know that they're going to go to hell unless they take Christ into your heart, if you are a good Christian, you can at least say, oh yeah, hi, you know, not like, you know, you're wrong, you got to do this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a matter of tolerance and education. It's just like this Christian Science Monitor piece that really explores the idea that, that as being that we are such a religious country, especially in terms of right wing, I'm talking about Christian fanatics, that probably 75-80% of them have no idea even about the teachings of the Bible. They're no more than a cult group on some level. And then you have real liberal Christians, progressive Christians. You have, you know, Republican Christians that aren't necessarily fanatics, that may behave in a proper manner, but, you know, are, at least know the history of what they're talking about and the preachings of the religion of their choice. And I think that if we had some sort of comparative education, then that guy wouldn't have gotten killed right after 9/11.
The Sikh guy who they mistook for a Muslim.
That's out of pure ignorance, and that's what you're saying, Riley. Is you're saying that the ignorance of other religions, you know, just on an educational basis, will lead to a cultural ignorance that will lead to a type of racism.
It can have deadly, deadly consequences.
If he had known, you know, the difference between a Sikh and a Muslim, he would have killed a Muslim.
Muslim, instead. Yeah. but yeah, you know, this came home to me in a very direct way in the aftermath of September 11th. A couple of days after the 11th, my wife and a friend of hers were driving through northern New Jersey and stopped at an intersection and were surrounded by people demanding to know why there was no American flag on our car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what? And the thing is, you know, my wife is relatively light-skinned. The woman she was with could have looked vaguely Arab.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, hey, you know, no, you don't surround people's cars and start pounding on them and make, you know, two women and my daughter.
Well, who the hell are they? What are they enforcing? It's a free country.
Of course it is.
I mean, I live in Queens. You know, half of the Arab population in my neighborhood, you know, put American flags on their car. It's because it just meant, please don't hit me.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It was unbelievable, the bullying that goes on with that. I didn't put an American flag on my car. I don't have a car. And it's got nothing to do with my patriotism. You know, I didn't put one in my window either. It doesn't mean I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel horrified. I wasn't scared. I wasn't, you know, completely angry. But, you know, I mean, who the hell are they to bully us? And that's not even a religious thing.
Well, what we're looking at here, Mark, is the attempt, and this is something that's been an ongoing thing for numbers of years, an attempt by some in this country to establish their religion as the only religion. And we've had people on the air before who have said that the strength of America has been in the fact that there is no state religion, that there is no one religion that everyone has to subscribe to. That was the kind of thing that ended up happening in places like Nazi Germany. Now, in Spain, and I don't know exactly what's going on here, but in Spain, it seems like there have been some changes going on.
Acceptance and tolerance is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Condoms for everyone. In Spain, the Spanish Catholic Church, which is no small deal, my friend.
That's right.
That's a big franchise of the Catholic organization, has okayed the use of condoms as a deterrent to AIDS, as a, you know, AIDS prevention.
Yeah.
This is big. This is big news. There's a quote here from a spokesman for the Spanish Bishops Conference, quote, condoms have a place in the global prevention of AIDS. And that is Juan Antonio Martinez Campos, spokesman for the Spanish Bishops Conference. And that's no small thing. I mean, this is a long time coming, and I'm not going to say it's a little late, but it isn't. But just, you know, it's practical. How can you not, after a certain point? This is where, you know, religious beliefs, you know, overshadowing reality, biological reality. Like, it's clear that the AIDS virus had evolved enough to actually threaten them out of their ridiculous posturing. You know, people were dying for what? All right. It could be prevented easily. 866-303-2270 is our number. We would like to hear you pipe in about what you think we're talking about. I mean, you know, what you're hearing come through your speakers, religion, you know, teaching creationism, which is basically saying it's so complicated, I don't understand it. It must be magic.
Hey.
So give us a call, 866-303-2270, 14 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Join the Morning Sedition. Right now, call 866-303-2270.
What?
That's 866-303-2270.
You don't know until you've tried this.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Damn good.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yo!
It's Morning Sedition. It's Ignoration Day here on Morning Sedition. That means, as far as we know, there's nothing of interest whatsoever going on down south there in Washington, D.C. We will be talking to Democrats who have won in state and local races in red states. We just talked to Bill Faison of North Carolina. We're going to be talking to Texas Congressman Al Green, who won in Texas. And we got Colorado State Senator Suzanne Williams later in the third hour. Right now it's time for my dream diary, which I will be bringing in today. Thank God I need it, man. I am full of dread and hate and contempt and anxiety. I'm wandering the desert handcuffed to a twin version of myself. We've both got ZZ Top beards and smell like chorizo. The sky is the color of melted tangerines. Somewhere, a bell is tolling. The other me wipes sweat off his forehead and says, what are we doing here, man? We should go to Washington and get in somebody's face. Ignoration. Come on, that's not even a word, man. I say, no, screw them. All their whiny BS, we're much better off out here. Fresh air, sunshine. The other me says, dude, it's 114 degrees. You're just not dealing with this, man. Denial. Oh, I'm too cool to protest. I say, what would it change, man? Nothing. We'd just be stuck in Washington with 5 zillion billion people and no public toilets. The other me says, you'd give in to the blow monkey puppet because there's no toilets? Good attitude. I say, hey, I'm just not going to waste my energy on empty gestures. The only reason to go to D.C. to protest is to congratulate yourself on how angry you are or to meet chicks from Bennington. Grow up, man. He says, so I can be boring old fart like you with no nads. Look, and pretty soon we're punching each other and pulling our long beards, and a cloud of dust and stars rises around us like in a Tom and Jerry's cartoon. 10 minutes later, we're lying on our backs, staring into the broiling sun and gasping for breath. A buzzard that was circling overhead swoops down and casts a shadow over both of us. It leans over us and starts talking. Montaigne said, "The soul that has no established aim loses itself." Actually, he didn't talk like that. He said, "The soul that has no established aim loses itself." That's how he sounded. "Could you hurry up and die? I'm really hungry here." We struggled to our feet. The buzzer was right. I look at me and I say, "Sorry, man." The other me says, "Yeah, me too." I say, "Are you ready?" He says, "Why not?" Then we joined hands and jumped into the canyon like Thelma and Louise. I woke up and my bed was filled with flying daggers.
Ooh.
Wow, that was like a twisted one, man. Let's take some of these calls about... Annie, listening to LIB. What's happening?
Hi.
Hey there. I'm so excited to talk about this. It's on my mind all the time.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Like what, exactly. In particular?
Well, yeah, here's the thing.
Okay.
I go across the country and I teach. That's okay. What I do. I teach for a living. And what I have learned, and I don't teach religion, what I teach is knitting. But what I've learned is the less someone understands about something, the more dogmatic they are, and the more they insist that other people do exactly what they say because they don't quite understand it. But they know they're right, and if they can make other people do it, then they know they're really right because they've got other people to do it.
Oh, that's interesting. And also, it's a cop-out, and it's very simple, and it promotes a type of ignorance and belligerence
right.
as well.
I don't have to think because X woman at X yarn shop told me this is the right way to knit, so I have to knit like this, and if anyone else does, they're wrong. And the people who are the most ignorant about it are the ones who get the most, I guess you can believe it, knit if you're really angry about the different ways people knit. The people who are the most ignorant are the ones who get the most angry when they see someone else knitting in a different way. And if they're knitting in a different way and they're doing it beautifully and they're getting a wonderful effect, then they get, they're not just angry, they're insulted. And this is a direct correlation to religion. If you look at someone else's religion and you see that they're living a rich and fulfilled life and they're being giving and loving and trusting and they've reached a certain point of peace in their soul that you haven't achieved, even though you're doing everything your minister tells you to do, it is the most aggravating and annoying and horrible thing. And I was raised as a fundamentalist, so I understand this anger inside out.
I so love the knitting metaphor.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. As opposed to surrender and find out how anyone can help themselves and become a broader, more tolerant person, they'd rather just say, you know, how come that person's having a better time than me? Screw them. They're wrong.
But you know what the key to that is? You've got to be able to convince people that you know what's right. Even if you don't know anything about knitting,
dude,
you got to convince people, yeah, I know how to do that.
And also, but you know, if you get a person that's vulnerable enough, if you get a person at the right point in their life, if you find a person that is in need or fragile or broken or lost or confused, these people are predators, my friend. I mean, they are predators. They look for the type of person that needs some sort of order in their life.
I've been all of those things you just described, but I've never been able to kind of like give myself up. I've always believed that you fix yourself.
Yeah, Kevin.
At some point.
How you doing? Kevin, a trucker in Virginia. Driving, are you?
Hey, Kevin.
I love you guys. Good morning. And I just totally agree with you, what you're saying about the comparative religious teaching. And they never will, because if they teach comparative religion, then everybody will see that one religion is just like the other, and it's all based on mythology.
Yes,
and
that's absolutely.
They don't have to grow up,
you know? Yeah, yep.
And then when they grow up, they won't have a reason. They won't be under control, and they won't have a reason to go around killing each other anymore because it's all mythology. I mean, I used to be the same way, but after a while, when I started studying, and one thing that gives it away, they always say, "Don't study this thing over here. Why are you telling me not to study this? If what you're telling me is the truth,
mm-hmm.
If you're telling me the truth, that means I can go anywhere and I'll find out it's the truth."
That's right.
When you start studying other things, you see that it's all based on the same thing. And what it is to me, it all leads back to the ancient Egyptian teachings. It's all mythology.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your call.
You know, I am so lucky I had really good parents who actually did take me to church all the time. My mother did. My father was irreligious. But, they did teach me to question. They never said, don't question.
And the mythology thing doesn't mean like there is nothing, belief can provide a lot of relief in people's lives. It needs to be tempered with education. It needs to be tempered with, you know, a certain amount of understanding at what role it plays. I mean, you can't be the king of everything. You know, there is a certain element where, you know, you have to have a certain amount of acceptance around certain things that enables you to, you know, to not think you have control over everything, because then you're going to drive yourself crazy. So I don't have any real question with belief. You know, it's exploited in a lot of ways, you know, in commodity
culture. Oh, it's exploited in a lot of ways. But you know what? Just don't ask your religion to do too much.
And also the comparative thing that, you know, it is all mythology, and it is all, you know, it's all designed from the same idea, and it is all sort of exploited. But, you know, personal belief system, you know, that doesn't necessarily have to be dangerous.
It all stems from trying to explain the inexplicable.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Right. Well, Jonathan Larson, Clutch Larson, will certainly sit down and explain the inexplicable if you want.
He does that every morning when we get in here.
Yeah. if you just say, let's go over this inexplicable thing, he'll be like, okay. Let's sit down, we'll start here.
No, Joan of Arc was not married to Noah.
Yeah, well, that's apparently what a lot of Americans think. You know, the ignorance is unbelievable. 12% of people
12%
in this country. Joan of Arc was Noah's wife.
Wasn't she single?
I don't know. She was definitely single.
All right. You know what's coming up, don't you?
Yeah, we're going to talk to Al Green.
Al Green, not the singer, the congressman from Texas. We've also got, a theater coming up.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Radio theater. Yes, when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley, Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
And now, the Morning Sedition Radio Theater Company players bring you their production of The Shadow Government.
Deep in Washington, D.C., lives a group that has the ability to cloud citizens' minds. What evil lurks in the heart of a shadow government? Mark Maron knows. When we last left our hero, his search for Colin Powell had led to Washington, D.C., where Bill Clinton said something big was going down.
Something big's going down. Can I leave? I don't have any more lives.
By the time I got to D.C., my head was pounding like an oil derrick in the Alaskan wilderness, and I was coming up just as dry. I was trying to remember what Clinton told me back in New York, but my memory had drowned in a tsunami of Johnny Walker Black. All around me were white people dressed like Mr. Moneybags in the Monopoly game. They looked a lot like Republicans. I stood out like Janet Jackson at a Ku Klux Klan cotillion.
4 more years!
Hey, you mugs, what's the skinny? Where's the shindig? What's with the hoopla? I couldn't figure out what they were saying. I needed a little hair of the dog to wash away the cobwebs. So I steered myself toward a bar. But the bouncer there was as friendly as Rumsfeld at a press conference and about as helpful.
Hey, bub, this is a party for GOP senators. Sponsored by General Electric. If you ain't a senator, tickets are 100,000 simoleons.
Hey, pal, I just want to ask some of the swells at the party if they know where to find Colin Powell.
And I want a date with Angelina Jolie. Everybody's got a dream.
He tossed me to the curb just as a brand new unmarked sedan pulled up. A half dozen clowns jumped out, and not the funny kind. These were the kind who wear black suits and earpieces and like to attach wires to guys like me. From the look of the heaters they were pulling, they were getting ready to fill me with more holes in the Warren Commission report. I beat it through the crowd with the gorillas hot on my tail.
Money trickles down from the wealthy.
The election in Iraq doesn't have to be successful in order to be a success.
Everyone should have a right to own a gun. Okay, everyone but that guy.
I gave them the slip by ducking into a desolate alley, a second home to the outcasts and badasses of society. That's when I heard a familiar voice.
Hey, you want a taste? I wiped it off.
It was Kid Rock, offering up a half-empty fifth of Southern Comfort. It figured he'd be drawn to this scene. The town was overrun with white trash, Republicans, and heavy drinking. It was a Kid Rock trifecta. Hey, Kid, doing a show in town?
My gig got canceled because I did a song about pimping Barbara Bush. That's a compliment where I come from. Now everyone in town is down on the Kid. Even Colin Powell dissed me for ripping off black music. Ain't that a bitch?
Where do you see Powell?
At the studio where I'm shooting my new video. He told me not to tell anyone I saw him. So, I gotta get on that real soon. You know, not telling anyone.
I softened him up by saying he should have gotten a Golden Globe for his performance in Joe Dirt. He offered to show me the studio where he'd seen Powell.
Last time I saw him, he was down here in the basement going through these boxes of videotapes.
I picked up a tape labeled Panic Project and popped it into the machine. I couldn't believe it. There was Bin Laden himself, just like the tapes I'd seen on the internet. In this one, he was threatening the country.
I do not hate America. I merely wish to erase it like a stain from the earth.
And there were hundreds of other tapes. They were all labeled OBL. One had Bin Laden threatening Europe.
I dislike polkas intensely. Poland must pay.
One of them seemed to be for a dating service.
Oh, I like walks on the beach, sunsets, and subservience to jihad. I'm not fussy. But please, no smokers or fat chicks.
And one tape looked like an audition reel for The Tonight Show.
Am I the only one who hates airline food? Are you with me, people?
Two things just didn't add up. First of all, Bin Laden's material was really hacky. And B, it looked like he had taped all the videos right here at this studio. He had been in Washington, D.C. all along. Kid, we gotta get out of here.
Cool. Let's head to the Lincoln Memorial. The Bush twins are gonna pose for the Girl Gone Wild cameras.
Suddenly, the lights went out.
What the?
Someone had entered the basement and they weren't alone. I froze in place, back to back with Kid Rock and ready for... Well, I wasn't sure. Just then a match flared, lighting up the face of the man in front of me. Holy Masonic conspiracy. It was him.
Who is this mysterious figure? What happened to Colin Powell? Can Mark ever get the image of Kid Rock pimping Barbara Bush out of his head? Find out next week when Kid Rock says...
Dude, Barbara and Jenna are giving Lincoln Statue a lap dance.
That's next time on The Shadow Government. And tune in later for Morning Sedition Radio Theater's production of The Lone Ranger.
Which way did they go, Tonto?
Why do I have to play Tonto? Just because I'm black? Is that supposed to be close to Indian or something?
What did you say, Tonto?
This is the last time. They went that away, Kemosabe.
I know, Silver. Away!
Kemosabe, my ass. I'll hire you, you cracker. I'm coming back here with Al Sharpton and my union rep. Let's see how liberal everybody feels about that.
That's the Lone Ranger. Later on Morning Sedition's Radio Theater.
Yes! Riley doing a little radio action.
Hey.
That's beautiful. As you know, if you've been listening all morning, as I'm sure some of you have, today is Ignoration Day on Morning Sedition. That means, so far as we know, there's nothing of interest whatsoever happening today having anything to do with President Bush. Yeah. So, in fact, as far as you know, there might not be a president. But I do know that some Democrats did win local offices and state offices.
And federal offices.
Federal offices in red states. We're going to talk to someone right
now. From the
now.
Reddest of the red.
Congressman from the 9th District of Texas. He was a justice of the peace for 25 years, former president of the Houston branch of the NAACP. Al Green is with us. Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Mark and Mark.
Congressman, thanks for being with us.
That's us, Congressman.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So, Congressman Green, how did a Democrat get elected in Texas? I mean, especially in this time.
Well, I would like to say because I'm good-looking and my mother loves me and everyone else, but it's probably because we had the three M's. We had a message. And we have the money to get that message to the masses. That usually is what it takes to win.
What is that message, if you could share it? Is it tight and good and help us out?
Well, I think it's a pretty good message. I think it's a message that the people of the 9th Congressional District, which is 36% African-American, 31% Hispanic, 21% Anglo, 12% Asian, they gravitate to. And it has to do with Social Security. We've got to secure Social Security. National Security is a necessity, but Social Security is a must. And there are people who don't have it as supplemental income. It's the only income they have.
Mm-hmm.
We made a promise. We got to keep it. It has to do with drugs, prescription drugs, of course, and has to do with health care. It is beyond the pales, and we've got to bring it back within reach so that all Americans can have the benefit of good health care. This is the richest country in the world. One out of every 130 Americans is a millionaire, so we ought to be able to afford affordable health care.
Congressman Green, you have been a coalition builder throughout your life. You've been a justice of the peace, as Mark said, for 25 years. You were the president of the Houston branch of the NAACP and got some very important work done there. How do you plan to use your coalition building skills on the floor of the House of Representatives?
Well, probably more off the floor than on the floor. I think that you have to reach out to people who are willing to embrace what you stand for. I think that I, as a Democrat, can be a Democrat without having to sacrifice principles and yet talk to people about issues that are of concern to all of us. We can stand on our common ground to reach higher ground, as it's been said. So I think that if we work off the floor, I think we can work better on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, obviously one of the things that happened in Texas just last year, in fact, was redistricting. A lot of people saw the fine hand of Tom DeLay, who's now your colleague, in that redistricting. How, if at all, did that impact on you, and how do you see it impacting the future of the Democratic Party in Texas?
Well, before the redistricting, the balance of power in the state of Texas was 17 Democrats, 15 Republicans. And to be quite candid with you, I thought that was a pretty fair balance of power. Obviously, there were others who disagreed with me. And unknown to me, gerrymandering took place. I went to bed one night, and I was in the 18th Congressional District. I awakened the next morning in the 9th Congressional District. It literally happened that way to me. I had nothing to do with the gerrymandering.
Sounds like magic.
Well, it was almost like magic. I'll tell you, I don't want to characterize it as neither white nor black magic. But, well, after we found out that the district was going to exist, and by the way, I, as an NAACP-er, joined the NAACP's efforts to fight this gerrymandering because we saw it as invidious and distasteful. However, we lost. And once we had this district that was some 79% minority, we thought it appropriate that a minority person run, and that's how I found myself in the race. How does this impact us long term? Well, I think it provides another voice in the United States Congress that comes from a different point of view. Right now, there are 42 African American members of the Congressional Black Caucus, and that's because we have worked hard and long, and we're there, and we want to make a difference. So I will be with the Congressional Black Caucus, and Maxine Waters was there with me throughout the entirety of my campaign. I'm so grateful to her.
Uh-huh.
And Congressman Benny Thompson, they were there for me, and Congresswoman Lee endorsed me, of course, but they were there for me, and I appreciate that. So I think that I will join that choir, if you will, of minority voices who do not speak only and solely for minorities, but who speak for America.
Well, that's great.
It's my belief that when minorities benefit in America, everybody benefits. America is a great place, and it's great in part because minority people are here to help make it great.
Thank you so much for joining us, Congressman Green, and congratulations on your victory.
Thanks, Congressman.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
That was great. I think that deserved a little.
Yeah. You know what I meant to ask you?
What?
If he thinks DeLay's going to get indicted.
What's that? Oh, yeah, yeah, we should have.
We should have.
They will have him come back again. Because we're trying to stay on the, know what I mean?
We're trying to stay on the message. Off message.
On the off message. Tom DeLay, the bug-killing.
That's no account. Punk. Oh, okay.
Neocon death cults legislator.
Raggedy-haired looking.
Yeah. Anyways, here we go. We are going to talk about, what happens when victims have the right to sue for injustices that have been done to them while they are anesthetized. 46 past the hour, Air America Radio. We'll talk about that when we get back.
Bush and the inauguration, not a single mention. Morning Sedition's Ignore Duration Day on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition. That's Mark Riley over there.
Yes, it is.
Today is Ignoration Day on Morning Sedition. We don't know what is going on down south of here in that other city.
We don't care.
That's right, man. Hey, but you know what? My buddy Jim Loftus, who was on the bus and on the plane and on the campaign with John Kerry, who I haven't talked to in a while, apparently called from Bulgaria. Jim, what are you doing in Bulgaria?
Hey, Mark.
How you doing, Jim?
I actually realized that I could listen to you guys on the web, and I punched it in today to see what you're doing on this day that's not particularly any day. Turns out you're not doing anything.
Jim, is that what happened?
I'm over here doing a parliamentary race. I'm doing, as my old boss Bill Clinton used to like to say, doing well by doing good.
Oh, well, that's
hey,
right.
Democracy,
no,
so, baby, democracy.
So wait, let me get this straight. So I haven't talked to you since Kerry, took the hit, and now you're in Bulgaria. Is that what? I mean, is that some sort of weird exile?
No, it's nothing. So it's nothing. So you know, you had all these posers saying they're going to leave the country if what's his name was reelected.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. I actually came back to the country to make sure that what's his name didn't get reelected, and then when it didn't happen, I left. But I had the revelation on election night, or the morning, about 3 a.m. after election night.
Yeah.
That far from feeling like I had wasted a year of my life, I actually had a different and more positive revelation, which was I would have been very angry with myself. I was sitting in Paris watching it.
You know? Yeah.
The fact that I went back and we fought our hearts out and lost was somehow soothing then. Still is, in a weird way.
Yeah, well, you know, let's. I guess we should talk about it. Now, you've been to Bulgaria before. You're actually involved in the presidential elections there as well, right?
Yeah, they're a parliamentary system. They also have a president, but he's not empowered, which is not a bad idea. I'm starting to think that there might be a plan for the U.S. Constitution, but this is about the parliament. Yeah.
So
and,
now,
I was here before. I was here before the 2000 election in the United States, and came back. And I have a couple of other gigs, consulting gigs around Europe. So
you're doing all right, though.
Business.
You're doing all right in general.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to come here. The opponents here are the socialists.
It feels
good.
So let me ask you a question. Like, if you could put it briefly and succinctly, because you were, you know, with Kerry the whole time. You know, what went wrong?
I don't know. Look, I think you know, I've sort of avoided the postmortems, but to sum it up, it's a hard thing to take out a seated president of the United States.
Okay.
I think that in a lot of ways, you know, he was a good and a tough candidate. He was very steely. You know, you can say, oh, he could have connected with people better or whatever. I don't know. I think, you know, what went wrong was that our very aggressive, very high-targeted field operation was outdone by the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
I was stunned. I really thought that their theory was built on a kind of an illusion. But I have to give credit to a guy that I'm not predisposed to give credit towards, which is Carl Rove.
Come on, Jim.
We had to dig. We knew we were going into that race with 700,000 plus votes nationally above them, and a lead based on the last election in Florida. We didn't take anything for granted. I think we had a target of about 5 million additional voters. We actually turned out 6 million additional voters, and we found out on election night, after all of the nonsense about exit polls, that they had turned out 9 million. Having, you know, helped organize field operations, it was an impressive feat. I don't know where they found all these guys. They clearly, the theory was that they were going to go after Christian conservatives who did not vote for Bush in 2000. I didn't think there were 9 million of them in the country. They were a little soft on Bush, apparently, as the theory said, in 2000, because his father was originally against restrictions on abortion.
But you felt like you fought the good fight. Yeah, you felt like you fought the good fight.
Yeah, I did. I'm not bitter about it.
Yeah.
I've been to the White House.
You're not bitter. You're in Bulgaria.
That's right. I'm over here, and it's amazing the magic of a weak dollar does to consulting contracts.
Hey, so, dude, let's talk off the air sometime. Thanks for calling, Jim. Good day. I'm glad you're doing well.
All right, Marky. Take care, guys.
All right, take care, Jim.
All right, that was interesting.
It sure was. Bulgaria, where they bring democracy not at the point of a gun.
Well, you know, he does, you know, he's like a freelance, he does advance, he does political work. I think he's actually an advisor in this campaign. He's done work in South America as well. He's my buddy Jim has lived certainly an interesting life since we left off in college, that's for sure. So now, look, let's talk about victims' rights. Let's talk about restricting victims' rights, which is what the administration would like to do with the reforms they want to make to the tort system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, if they had their restrictions in place, a woman who is suing a doctor, she's accusing him of leaving a 4-inch metal instrument inside her uterus.
Yeah.
Whoops. And she called up and said, hey, I got some pain. And the doctor's office said, yeah, it's normal. Take some, take an aspirin. Then she called up a week later. It's like, you don't understand. I got some pain. And he said, yeah, deal with it.
In the words of Lawton Smalls, deal with it.
That's a quote. Deal with it. He just keeps saying, deal with it. All right. And then the thing is like, this stuff happens. All right. It shouldn't happen, but it happens. And it's oversight and it's wrong. Even if it's an accident, this is dangerous stuff. When sponges are left in, scalpels are left in, whatever's left in. My father used to be in surgery. It never happened to him, but apparently it's not uncommon, and some people don't even know it. But this woman definitely knew it.
Yeah, it caused her a great deal of pain. But you know what? And you said this earlier before we went on the air. She's only suing for $350,000. Now, compare this with Don King, who's a supporter of a certain guy, who's suing for $2.5 billion. And this lady's, who definitely injured, is only suing for $350,000.
Yeah, it's an reasonable amount for the discomfort and possible threat to her life that it could have caused, because it did actually resolve itself in a fairly disturbing, but interesting way. And I guess, all right, well, we'll talk about that when we come back.
Do we have to?
Maybe a little.
Maybe a little. And, of course, we're also going to talk about a certain SquarePants sponge.
Yeah.
You know about that. And we're also going to talk on our Inauguration Day with yet another winner in a red state. When we come back here on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, and working class heroes, and all you people that are listening out there in the world. Today is Inauguration Day here on Morning Sedition. That means, as far as we know, there's nothing of interest whatsoever happening today having anything to do with the office of the president. In fact, as far as we know, there might not be a president. And also, as you know, we've been talking to, if you've been listening to the show, we've been talking to the Democrats who have won state races and also federal races in red states all day. We talked to a North Carolina State Representative Bill Thiessen, talked to Texas Congressman Al Green. We got Colorado State Senator Suzanne Williams coming up. We left something dangling there, a story, if you've been listening for the last hour, about a restricting victims' rights story where a woman sued. I believe, is it successful? Is it still happening?
No, the suit is ongoing.
An instrument was left inside of her uterus, and she passed it a few days later, and the doctors was said that it was just normal to have this kind of pain, that you may deal with it, take the pill. She's suing for $350,000 because she had to pass a surgical instrument. What a surprise that would be.
Yeah.
Clink. Hey.
And not the most pleasant of surprises.
No. I mean, it's not something you need. I mean, if something came out of there that was like, hey, I can use this, like money or something, that'd be exciting. But not a surgical instrument after you have surgery.
No.
And $350,000 is reasonable. Just have to deal with that, and that doctor should be reprimanded, specifically even more than for leaving the instrument or for being, dismissing it. Dismissing it is like, come on, just... Not like, let's have a look, come on in. God forbid he do his job properly. All right, anyways, so moving on, what are we dealing with here? Oh, okay, I do know what we're dealing with here. We've got a couple of stories. First, I want to say to you, Mark Riley, that my cats are, this is something I haven't checked in on in a while. Now, as some of you know, there was a feral cat adventure that we went through here, a morning tradition with me and taking in. On the day of the Republican National Convention, actually, I took in 4 feral kittens that have been the bane of my existence. I got rid of one. I got rid of one not too long ago who's now a deli cat in Brooklyn. And now I have these 3, and the male cat is like Mr. Love Biscuit now. The guy is just like, all over it, taking in the love, being a sweet cat, licking everything.
Oh, okay.
And now one of the female cats starting to come around, the black and white cat. And not only am I, now she's like, letting me pet her in a big way as opposed to just, and I'm still a little nervous. And then there's one other one the little one.
The Rebel.
Yeah, the Rebel, but she's like the most beautiful cat. And she's now watching me with the other 2 cats kind of going, well, I could use a little of that love. I think I could use a little of that, but still not ready to surrender to it. But now I'm completely happy with my cats. Eventually, I'm going to let them sleep in my room. I haven't been able to because the male monkey he likes to pee on my bed.
No, you don't
and
want that.
Also, wanted to say to the listener, if they are still a listener or still listening, the guy who sent the cat bed. Whatever they were going through initially with the peeing on the cat bed, no more. Now it's a rotating bunk for all of them. They're all sleeping in it. Very nice of you to send that. I really appreciate all the toys that were sent early on. Because,
yeah,
it's nice.
It was.
Speaking of cute things, Dr. James C. Dobson, the founder of Focus on Family, which is one of these the Christo-fascist zombie brigades, propaganda outlets, has decided that SpongeBob is promoting gay messages to kids.
Yes.
Okay. Now this is based on a video that is done. He's calling it. Dobson's calling it a pro homosexual video, and apparently in which SpongeBob appears alongside children's television colleagues like Barney and Jimmy Neutron. And the makers of the video said plan to mail it to thousands of elementary schools to promote a tolerance pledge, quote unquote, that includes tolerance for differences of sexual identity. The victim's creator, Nile Rodgers, who wrote the disco hit We Are Family, said Mr. Dobson's objections stem from a misunderstanding. Mr. Rodgers said he founded the We Are Family Foundation after the September 11th attacks to create a music video to teach children about multiculturalism. The video has appeared on television networks and nothing in it or its accompanying material refers to sexual identity. So now, this is Dobson.
Yeah, so how did he make the leap from saying that this video with SpongeBob and it promotes homosexuality, when the guy who made the video says there's no reference to homosexuality?
Well, Dobson's a great example of religious extremism, where they're anti-tolerance is what they are. They are anti-acceptance. They are anti-tolerance. They only like people that think the same as them. They do not engage with or tolerate well not only sexual identity issues or gay. Couples or gay reality, but they don't accept anyone who's different. This is just sort of a manifestation of that. I think that Nile Rodgers is probably right in saying that, it was just about multiculturalism. But, on a deeper level, I think that people like Dobson and his groups, they are, on some level, I think, Christian supremacists.
Well, the other thing that he may have made a mistake with is that Nile Rodgers has a website that is the We Are Family Foundation. There is another website not related to his called We Are Family that advocates for gay young people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if Dobson even has his facts straight, or maybe he found out that Nile Rodgers wrote the song I'm Coming Out, which became a gay anthem, for Diana Ross 20-something years ago.
I don't think the facts play into this guy caring about what, got the facts wrong.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, even if that's the case, he's still going to find it unacceptable. But the idea that they said that, quote, we see the video as an insidious means by which the organization is manipulating and potentially brainwashing kids. It is a classic bait and switch. So he's saying that the multiculturalism thing is just a front
for a gay agenda
that has nothing to do with multiculturalism. They're just saying that.
But you know what his end game is, don't you?
What?
I think he wants to get SpongeBob taken off TV.
Which
would cause,
crazy?
By the way, riots in elementary schools all over America if that were to happen.
What the hell difference does it make? Cartoon characters are classically androgynous, sexually ambiguous, childlike or strange animal.
They went through this with the Teletubbies a few years ago, too.
Oh, that's
saying
right.
That one of the Tinky Winky, one of them,
was
gay.
Dobson? I bet you that was.
I don't
Dobson.
Know if it was Dobson, but it was one of
it
those
wasn't.
Religious
it
right
wasn't.
Groups,
it
and
wasn't.
They said, "Oh yeah, the Teletubbies. Yeah, they're promoting a gay lifestyle."
These guys see gayness in everything.
Oh, it was Jerry Falwell. Well, of course, he can't even see his television set. That old geezer.
We're gonna let SpongeBob make his own case after this. It's 13 past the hour on Air America Radio.
No presidential enough.
It's Morning Sedition's Ignore Duration Day. Only on Air America Radio.
Hey! 18 past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
You!
On Air America's Morning Sedition. It is Ignore Duration Day here on Morning Sedition. That means, as far as we know, nothing is going on of any interest whatsoever down there in
wherever.
D.C., wherever it is. Hey, Kalo, the Costco.
See, you're not going to stop with that now, right?
Dude, what is there? Come on, buddy. We're friends, right, man? I feel like there's some tension. Is there tension, man?
No, there's no tension. What's the matter?
No, I got it. Okay, I got it.
He hates you, man.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he hates you.
Just sometimes he's over there. He's working the boards. He's like the he's like the Phantom over there.
Hater.
At the keyboard.
Hater.
Oh, come on.
All right, Hater.
So I'm going to do the pomp out now, which was brought to us by Raymond wearing a judicial robe. Is that what you call it? A judge's robe.
Judge's robe, yeah.
This is William Rehnquist, pomp pilot for today, January 20th. 7 a.m., wake up. Note, special day. Only one day left in the work week. 9 a.m. Don't forget, next week is Thomas's birthday. Get him a DVD. You know the kind. 10 a.m. Today's the day. Pay the gas bill. Wouldn't want to get shut off in January. 10:15 a.m. You've only got one shot to do this right. So don't blink during your driver's license photo. 10:30 a.m. Everyone is depending on me today. Don't forget to pick up grandkids at soccer practice. 11:30 a.m. Remember, speak up with a loud, clear voice and say, I'll have a chicken gordita and a Mountain Dew. 12 p.m. Remember, very important, move car for alternate side of the street parking. And 9 p.m. Remember to check in with the president tomorrow. Today just got away from me. All right, so let's go back to this. Dobson and, you know, his little pack of freaks, the founder of, he's the founder of Focus on Family, a Christo-fascist zombie brigade trying to dictate the way we live and raise our kids, has decided that SpongeBob is gay.
Yeah.
He's decided that. That's what he's decided.
Part of the gay conspiracy.
Yes. It's brainwashing kids into tolerating homosexuality.
And in worst cases scenario, adopting the gay lifestyle.
Oh, wow. Man, imagine that. So let's let SpongeBob make his
yeah, let's speak. Let him speak for himself.
Okay, well, I'll stop calling you the Costco ho, okay?
I sleep with my shoes on. I like jelly on both sides of my toes. I've got an overdue library book. I've said the word fancy in conversation. I like to dance to loading zone announcements. I still don't have my driver's license. I'm a little on the short side. I'm wearing three pairs of underwear right now.
Nothing there.
Special,
you know, it's just a self-description explaining his day and, you know, and who
he is.
Yeah. Let's hear another one, Chris.
I'm exhausted. I sure can't wait to drink all these drinks.
No. Nothing suggests.
Mai Tais, margaritas. I don't know.
Maybe. No, I doubt it. He is for children.
Yeah.
Sure, let's hear the next one there, Chris.
Oops! I guess I ripped my pants again.
I don't know what's going on there.
I've heard that one.
Yeah. No. I mean, it happens. You know, you rip your pants and yeah. that happens. I mean, it's a little out of context, but let's hear the next one.
Okay, Patrick, it's all in the technique. First, go like this. Spin around. Stop. And pelvic thrust. Don't forget it. Then you do this, then this, and this, and this, and that, and this, and that, and that.
Oh, that's the one.
I don't know.
That's the one.
Hey, all I got to say is, so what? You know, so what if SpongeBob might be gay? I mean, this is about acceptance, and it's about, you know, everybody has the freedom to do what they want to do, and there's no reason, you know, kids can't learn, you know, either way. You know, I don't know.
Is this supposed to mean that Dobson's on to something?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Dr. Dobson, where did he get his PhD? I assume he's a PhD. Maybe he's an MD?
I think that what he's missing is that there's not anything subversive about this. You know, SpongeBob is out. He's proud. And people have just got to get used to it.
He is what he is.
That's right. That's all there is to it.
You know what really irritates Dobson? And I think...
anything about freedom?
Freedom, yeah. Or people's right to choose, whatever. But, you know, part of his problem is that SpongeBob, in addition to appealing to children, has become this kind of like camp figure in the gay community. Now, that's not SpongeBob's fault. It's not the creator's fault.
Is that true?
Yeah, it is.
Like, in what way? They just get a kick out of him?
They get a kick out of watching him. You know, I'm going to go there. Why do they love Judy Garland? I don't know.
Well, I don't know that SpongeBob. I'm still not seeing the leap. You know? Oh, SpongeBob, Judy Garland. Of course.
Oh, of course. Now you understand.
No, I get you. They just sort of locked on to the cuteness and the quirkiness.
He holds hands with Patrick every now and then. Who's one of
his hands? All the
yeah,
time.
I know, but you know, for gay guys, they don't get to see that much on TV if they don't watch Will and Grace or
right.
Queer Eye for the Straight Guys. So they see SpongeBob, and he becomes part of the pantheon, I guess.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's great.
I'm not gay, so why are you asking me for an explanation?
Hey, why are you freaking out, man?
Because you already made me do Tano today.
Come on.
I'm starting to get upset here with my role on this show. That's why.
Come on. Come on. I've got to watch SpongeBob a little more because people love it. They've always loved it. Adults have loved
it. I enjoy it. I watch it.
Does your kid watch it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the guy who does SpongeBob, Tom Kenny, is a comic. Yeah, I've known him for years. I've known that guy.
Really?
Yeah, he was a very funny guy. He used to go by the name Tomcat. He used to be best friends with Bobcat Goldthwait. So it was Tomcat and Bobcat. They both had these nicknames. And they started, I believe, in upstate New York. And then he moved down to Boston. And Tomcat and Bobcat were both in Boston when I was there in college, and I got to see Kenny do his bit there. He always had a lot of different voices. He could always do sort of cartoony kind of riffing.
Yeah.
He's a very funny guy. And when Bobcat, you know, sort of moved to San Francisco and became famous, and Kenny also went to San Francisco, and he did some work for Mr. Show, I believe, before he did the SpongeBob. He also hosted something I was on, a showcase they did on NBC.
Really?
He hosted a bunch of those. I can't remember what the name of the series was. It was a late night comedy thing on NBC, just stand up. It's something that took place at a hipster lounge. But you know, he's I'm very happy that he's had this.
Maybe
this
one day we'll
success.
Get to talk to him, because SpongeBob has become a very unique American cultural phenomenon. He really is.
Well, let's talk about the Republican National Committee chair, Ken Melman.
Oh, see, now here you go.
What?
He's following SpongeBob being gay with Ken Melman.
What does that
accident?
Mean?
Accident? Coincidence?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Or left-wing conspiracy.
Hey, you know what I mean? If the tiara fits. So Anyways.
Oh, they wouldn't allow a guy like that to head the RNC, would they?
Sure, and as long as he doesn't say anything. It's a don't ask, don't tell within the Republican world. So he accepted the chairman of he's accepting the chairmanship on the eve of of inaugural. Yeah. So here's what he has to say. Here's some of his agenda here, Riley. What is it? Enact the president's agenda, including fighting terrorism, revamping Social Security, changing the tax code, and appointing strict constructionists to the courts.
Yeah.
He wants to institutionalize the GOP's 2004 grassroots operation, which most experts believe was far better than the Democrats. That's all changing. We're going to do something about it.
Well, we're giving him a head start. You know, the DNC doesn't have a chair yet, and he's already planning and plotting and scheming.
We're going to talk to Suzanne Williams, who's the freshman Colorado State Senator who won in a red state, and she's going to give us some pointers on how to deal with this. They say the Republicans say they want to recruit quality candidates for the 2005-2006 elections. We also urged RNC members to start focusing on the 2008 presidential campaign and further down the road, 2011 redistricting process. Dude, they're demonic.
Uh-oh.
Use the GOP agenda to court new voters. Blacks through school voucher initiatives, young voters through Social Security changes, and Hispanics through efforts to limit legal liability.
All right, so a card game for the blacks, scare tactics for the young, and what does Hispanics have to do with victims' rights? What's up with that?
I imagine they're talking about immigrant law.
Oh,
I think limit legal liability. I think that it wouldn't that be in terms of maybe getting a driver's license or identification cards for illegal immigrants?
I thought they were against that. Well, maybe they are. Maybe they're not.
It's cryptic.
It is cryptic.
We have to get our Republican decoder ring here and figure that out. But after we come back, in honor of our Inauguration Day, we're going to talk to Colorado State Senator Suzanne Williams.
That's right. Talk about exit polling, and of course, you got the liberal agenda and more here on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley, Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Our
34 past the hour. Mark Maron here on Morning Edition. It's Air America. That's Mark Riley.
It is.
How's it going, man? You all
right? It's going, man.
Today is Ignore Duration Day here on Morning Edition. That means, as far as we know, there's nothing of any interest whatsoever going on in the District of Columbia.
Anything south of Baltimore is taboo.
Since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that Americans know what's happening in this alternate universe. And on this morning, you know what is going to happen to you know who. Mm-hmm. We're going to turn that alternate universe into an alternate universe. So now, on the phone to interview me is Planet What's-His-Name correspondent Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Lawton.
It's here. Lord have mercy. God's got a special little baby, and his name is George W.
No. Don't say it. We're not saying that today.
Don't be that way.
No. Yes.
Why can't you accept the fact that the events of today are happening because of a decisive election? I mean,
decisive.
People have
decisive. What are you talking about? Everything would have been different if it weren't for, you know, the hanging chads and, you know, Mayor Daley and what's it, Ross Perot splitting the vote.
Oh, I mean, hang on, buddy. I think you're getting your presidential elections a little scrambled up there.
No.
Salad.
No. No, you're mixed up, buddy. You're mixed up. Or have you forgotten that Bernard Kerik and his mob buddies intimidated, beat up, and ordered hits on all voters who tried to vote Democratic? Do you remember that?
I haven't forgotten that, you know, because I'd never heard that in the first place.
Well, that's because the mainstream media suppresses all information, my friend.
Oh.
It's only the paranoid, conspiracy-obsessed left-wing blogs that tell the truth. And most of those cyber whores are owned lock, stock, and barrel by Rupert Murdoch, sir.
Oh, Mark, you know, this is very upsetting. Do you have any idea what it's like to interview a stubborn ideologue who never faces the truth?
Hey, wait, whoa.
That's uncomfortable.
I wouldn't have any idea what that's like, my friend. All right? Yeah, okay, I deal with you all the time. All right, but I do know that because of Karl Rove's Machiavellian maneuvering, we'll never know the true outcome of the election, my friend.
All right, now you're telling me John Kerry was the actual victor in November.
Of course not.
Huh. Praise the Lord.
I'm saying that Howard Dean was the winner,
what?
My friend. Howard Dean. Yes, that's right.
Dean
swept the primaries and then went on to win the presidency in an electoral landslide, but because
Lord
of electronic
mercy.
Voting machine tampering in Ohio, the public was denied the truth.
Oh, well, then how come President Bush?
No, don't say it.
President Bush?
Don't say it.
President
Bush? No, stop. I can't hear you. No.
Mark, get a hold of yourself. Face reality, please. This day is happening, whether you like it or not.
Who can say what's real and what isn't?
What are you doing?
I think it's all a dream, man.
What are you doing?
It's just a bad acid trip. At any moment, I'll come down. It'll be 1973, and George McGovern will be president.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Look at this.
Why are you crying about?
I'm crying because you're crying. It shows an emotional experience. It's a roller coaster. You know I cry easily. You did this on purpose to ruin my day. It's all right, man. You helped me. Yeah, when I cry, I'll help you out.
That was good. That was good. It's good to let it out. Well, thanks for listening, man.
Okay, I gotta go now, Mark. I'm not really used to dealing with people that are so unstable. So, this is a little uncomfortable for me. I'm gonna go now, and I'll talk to you later. Okay, get some rest.
Hey, Lawton, God loves you. Deal with it.
I'm hanging up. Right.
Role reversal. I like
him.
It.
I got him that time. Eh? Who wins that little? So right now on the phone, this is part of our inauguration day coverage. We are talking to Democrats who have won office in red states. Right now, in the first time in more than 40 years, Colorado Democrats took control of both chambers of the General Assembly. Colorado State Senator Suzanne Williams joins us by phone from Colorado. She's a freshman state senator, but a veteran legislator. She spent 8 years in the House, and in November she won a seat in the Senate. Senator, thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Good morning.
So, to what do the state Democrats owe their success in the November elections? And a great success it was.
I would say two things.
Mm-hmm.
great candidates that the people could trust, and the voters seem to be tired and disenchanted with the way our state government had been going.
So now, you know, how come, you know, whatever was going on there didn't bleed into the national level?
Well, I think that some way we got our message across better.
Like, what was the message? What did you guys focus on? Because it's there were successes in the federal level, and then, you know, you, and what happened there? What was the message?
Our concerns strongly in our state were regarding our funding for education, our health care issues, and what was going on in our state regarding our budget.
Hmm.
And people were ready to hear that, and they didn't want to hear far-right messages. And that's what the candidates tended to be that lost.
So they didn't want to hear fear-mongering?
They didn't want to hear fear. They didn't want to hear excuses. They didn't want to hear platitudes.
Practicality is what they wanted.
Right.
Had they been hearing some of these things from prior legislatures?
Well, many of the prior legislators had such a far-right agenda that it wasn't real to the people, and they could see through that this time. They could see that they were too extreme. They weren't middle of the road enough.
Now, how come they voted for Bush overall, though?
I think it's because they still couldn't trust regarding the war. They voted for him because they felt like they needed that consistency regarding the war.
Thousands of legal immigrants in the state of Colorado, and that was taken away 2 years ago. Now, this measure has to go to your chamber, to the state Senate, for approval. What are the odds?
I think it's going to pass out of our chamber, too. We have, I'm the majority by one. I am the 1/18th vote. So we have the majority of Democrats that will be with us. I think we'll have even a couple of Republicans with us on this one.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're the only Native American legislator in the Colorado legislature. Is that true?
I'm the only voting Native American in the Colorado legislature. That is true.
Really? They got non-voting Native Americans?
Yeah. Many people of Native American descent might know that they have the bloodlines of various tribes, but they might not be associated with those tribes and registered voters, whereas I am a registered voter of the Comanche Tribe of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Now, how have you reached out to the Native American community in your district and your state?
Well, I've done many bills through my 8 years in the House of Representatives that have helped the Native American community. I've worked a lot with the Lieutenant Governor in our state and the Secretary of the Indian Commission to be very proactive in what is needed to move the Native Americans down the road in our state, whether they're the urban Indians. We have two tribes in the south that I've worked a lot with, and I've done probably my best legislation overall has been to establish an American Indian License Scholars Plate.
Mm.
And the money that is purchased when people purchase those plates, and anyone can purchase them, that money goes for scholarships for American Indians in Colorado to go to higher institutions.
So, Senator, what do you think the National Democratic Party needs to do to get on into the success rate that you've had in Colorado? What do you think the problem is?
I think that you need to have, I would say, more moderate Democrats that are speaking to people and the people issues of the state.
Like what? What issues?
Well, they are education.
Mm-hmm.
Around the country, it is education. We have the No Child Left Behind, which is the federal mandate, and most states cannot live within many of the parameters of that bill. And so bringing to the forefront of knowledge, I think, of the people that, yes, the Democrats want all kids to learn, and this is how we're doing it, and we need to have our own message for how we're going to make sure all kids can learn, how we're going to be accountable. We need to be the party that is going to help individuals have their own not only education but their own jobs. We need to be the party that shows the way of how we're going to make sure people have health insurance, access to affordable health insurance. We need to have those messages so strong that we are the ones that they want to follow, because we have specific ways that we're going to get those things done.
Great, great. Well, thank you so much, Senator Suzanne Williams, for joining us.
You're welcome.
We really appreciate it. Wow, I said his name. I uttered his name. I did once, too. Well, I'm going to have to. Ow. Okay, that's enough. That's enough for that. Wow, that felt kind of good. Yeah. All right, 44 past the hour. We'll be back in a second, Air America Radio.
It's a free Thursday on Morning Sedition. Ignore Duration Day. Only on Air America Radio.
Television for your arteries. 49 past the hour. Let's land this thing. Mark Riley is there.
Yeah.
Come over here. It's Ignore Duration Day. We've made it through with only saying uttering the dark name twice.
Yeah.
Once each. And we talked to a lot of Democrats who won their elections in red states. That was kind of interesting. Tomorrow, Joseph Heath and Andrew Potter, authors of A Nation of Rebels, discuss the illusion of nonconformity and how the counterculture is perfectly capitalist. That should be interesting. I'm almost done with this book. Hopefully I can plow through the end of it. It's a very challenging book, and it's very interesting stuff, these guys. You know, they spend a lot of time debunking Freud, debunking Marx, debunking the whole nature of, you know, progressive movements that sought to destroy the system in order to rebuild it. Mm-hmm. They basically say that, you know, most of what was, you know, phrased as, you know, hippie counterculture from the 60s on up was really just some sort of weird growth spurt of capitalism. And I'm hoping by the end of the book they have some relatively progressive ideas for how to actually change culture. It's these guys are smarty pants too.
What about Emma Goldman? What are they going to say about her?
Oh, they didn't mention her all the way back. You know, but what they were sort of mentioning though. Thomas Frank's early work in The Baffler, and also he did a book. Oh, what the hell is the name of that book? But he dealt a lot with the co-opting of cool by capitalism and how it sells itself out, or how it was, you know, appropriated and sold back to people. But Commodify Your Dissent is the name of the book I'm thinking of. It was a series of writings that he edited from The Baffler. And he also did One Market Under God. But this stuff, you know, they say that it wasn't co-opted or bought out or appropriated, but literally that the same forces that fuel progressive politics fuel capitalism. That is not that we see mass market as this sort of, you know, movement towards conformity, but they argue that most people buy things in order to be different or to be part of a certain social class that they can be identified as. It is pretty dense stuff, and I'm hoping we can, you know, focus it and get to some
interesting points. Well, distill it. I like the reduction, wine reduction.
Well, I got to do that because, boy, this book is a head full. And Borzu Daragahi tomorrow as well. An update from Iraq. I will be performing at Jimmy Tingle's Off-Broadway Theater in Davis Square in Somerville, Massachusetts, this Friday and Saturday. You can go to the tour dates page on morningsedition.com for info and tickets. Also to join the Morning Sedition Book Club, but do it tomorrow because if you're not spending a dime today, then you don't want to do this today. But you can purchase Sam Lifsight's book, Homeland. He's going to be back on Morning Sedition on January 28th to discuss the book. That's at morningsedition.com. And here's a little taste of Sam Lifsight.
Just turn to my intimate portraits page in the yearbook, and you'll see that I was never anything approaching buck-like. Not unless there's such a thing in nature as a buck turtle.
Sam Lifsight, very funny, very dark, very interesting, introspective, and it's the tone of this book. If you went to high school in America, you know, in a small city, you will certainly identify with what is going on in this book. It's the bitter dispatches of a guy who feels like a failure to his high school newsletter. Unpublishable dispatches.
Ooh.
What do you got there, Riley? What are you looking at?
Well, I'm checking out the this is a pretty localized issue to New York, but the Attorney General's race here in New York is really getting interesting. Why? Because Kennedy
sex and intrigue.
Yeah, but our man Robert Kennedy Jr. Uh-huh. is contemplating a run for the Senate, and among his opponents might well be Andrew Cuomo, his former brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Now, that makes for some real interesting politics over
so,
there.
So what do you think's going on? What, lay the story out for me, because I know you got pretty excited about it yesterday.
Well, the story is this. Andrew Cuomo, who was a former housing secretary under Bill Clinton,
yeah.
and the son of Mario Cuomo, former governor of New York, and, you know, great hope of the Democratic Party like a decade or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was married to Kerry Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And they split up because Kerry Kennedy got involved with some guy named Bruce Colley, I believe his name is.
Okay.
Now, the beef is allegedly Andrew Cuomo went to Robert Kennedy Jr. and asked him to intercede with his sister on his behalf. Robert Kennedy Jr. allegedly refused to do so. So, therefore, there was supposedly continues to be bad blood between the two of them. Now they're running in the race. Robert Kennedy Jr. says, and this is interesting because I think he copped this from you, Mark Maron.
Okay.
He says he's in the race to talk about the issues.
Yeah, it wouldn't be me. That'd be that guy that called that one time and screamed at us. Also out there in the world right now, intelligent design being taught in the Dover Area School District in Pennsylvania. This Tuesday was the first day that they taught mythology as an alternative to science. That's right. The argument is that creationism is an alternative to the science of biology, to the science of evolution, to facts. These people want to deny kids a fact-based education, and instead they want to give them mythology. And their defense is like, yeah, well, evolution may explain some things, but it doesn't explain all things. And things are so complicated, there must be some, you know, deity, some intelligent design. You know, that really to me is like saying, well, it's complicated, I don't understand it, it must be magic.
Oh, yeah.
And now the Spanish Catholic Church is allowing condoms, finally waking up, saying, look, condoms will deter AIDS in a lot of situations. And that's a significant thing. The Spanish Catholic Church is a huge franchise of the Catholic organization. And this is, if you look at it in an intelligent way, is the Spanish Catholic Church adapting, evolving, trying to survive by taking actions that will protect its, you know, its life.
Its congregants.
That's right.
You know, the thing that bothers, I've never been able to figure out the Catholic Church's opposition to condoms in the first place.
They want more Catholics.
Is that what it is?
Of course it's what it is.
Oh, so they want people to have like 7, 9, 12 kids.
Absolutely. More Catholics. The more Catholics, the better. How many large Catholic families have you met in your life, Riley?
Oh, several. So this means like, you know, you do it, you have kids, period.
Right.
Okay.
You can try the rhythm method. Good luck with that.
Yeah, have fun.
Look, I'm
glad to see that this, because I think it'll have a ripple effect in churches throughout the Spanish-speaking world, and that's important.
Well, they're starting to realize that, you know, people have sex, and people have sex in a lot of, you know, ways that, you know, may be dangerous. So why not protect yourself? Think about it. Instead of dying, you just have more for confession.
Jeez.
Come on.
Well, and you were raised what? No, never mind.
I'm a Jew, a Jewish Jew, man. Here we go. Here's the liberal agenda today. It's Count Your Blessings Day, though not affiliated with any specific creed or dogma from the Streisand compound. One, greet the dawn. Feel the spirit of all your ancestors flowing through you like a golden stream into a sparkling ocean of interconnectedness. Weep. Two, have creme brulee at Daniel, and then weep. Three, watch lesbian couple playing with their adopted Guatemalan baby. Weep. Four, weep. Five, today's phrase, just drop it in the conversation. Can you hear the whales, man? It's beautiful. It's beautiful, man. Have a good day, Riley. Ignore Duration Day. Go to the movies tonight.
That's
right. Go to the movies this afternoon.
We're going to have Borzu Dargahi on tomorrow with the latest from Iraq. Enjoy the rest of your Ignore Duration Day. Ours is done.
It is done.
At least for the short term.
Go in the movies.
Have a good one. Yeah, what you going to see?
I'm not going to see Kinsey.
No porn?
No.
Oh, okay. Have a good one, Marin.
See you later, man.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley, because two marks are better than one. Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.